broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
It's now time to talk about small businesses. And in this particular case, we're going to be looking at how small businesses can strategically grow without overextending, given that the economic climate is proving challenging for businesses across the board, particularly for small and medium-sized businesses, which form the backbone of the economy. And while economic conditions are tough, our next guest is of the view that SMEs must grow sustainably to remain competitive, and we're joined by Karabo Mashekgane, who is the CEO at 2020 Insights. Karabo, thank you so much for your time. I mean, when we talk about, you know, businesses being able to grow sustainably in order for them to be competitive, and we're looking at, you know, small businesses, does that apply to small businesses across the board, even those who really run a mom's and pop shop or something on the corner, a spaza shop, et cetera? Or does it depend on the size of the business?
Yeah. Good evening, Natasha, and thanks for having me on. And I think it really depends, you know, for smaller business and even medium-sized businesses. Usually the founder, the shareholders, some have ambitions to grow bigger, and there are individuals who are happy to keep their small kind of shop and don't want to expand and create the next Pick and Pay or Checkers, etc. And so it really depends. And some people are just happy to, you know, if you're a consultant, for example, there are consultants who are happy to just service their customers on a one-on-one basis, and not necessarily have to try and develop a consulting business. So in terms of the desire to grow, it depends on the individual and their circumstances. And it's not really for everybody, because I think trying to drive business growth is extremely taxing. And a lot of businesses fail in that process of trying to expand and grow.
So when we talk about expanding and growing without overextending yourself financially, is that possible? And how is it possible?
Yeah, so there are different types, and it really depends on the business strategy. And, you know, when we say business strategy, there's different types of strategy. You know, a lot of the times we say strategy as if it's just one thing. But, you know, I think generally we look at three categories of strategy, where you're looking at a corporate strategy, a competitive strategy, and an operating strategy. So, you know, when you're talking about a corporate one, it's really looking at what business are we in and what business do we want to be in. So, for example, if you have a business owner who wants to start or has a clothing label, you know, there are decisions to be made around which part of the value chain do you want to play in. So firstly, you want to be in the clothing industry, or if you're a designer, what type of design work do you want to do? And then once you select that, is where do you want to play that? Do you want to also get involved in distribution? Do you want to get involved in manufacturing or those types of things? You know, and those are usually quite critical to how you then, what is required for you to grow and how you drive your growth. There's also issues of when you're already in, not just around your value chain, but also parallel businesses. I mean, I think we just heard an advert now with Vodacom Financial Services, where you have a company that has, you know, that provides telecom services. And because of their sort of balance sheet or position, they're able to say, look, we can use the competencies that we have to also branch off into. And that's a growth strategy for Vodacom, for example, that they are growing by getting into businesses that are somewhat related and using their competencies in a related business. But that's not directly necessarily associated with the industry they're in. So I state those examples just to show that there's different ways of looking at growth. You know, sometimes we think about growth simply as increasing your customer base in one business or going into different markets, etc., with the same service. But there's also strategies around which markets are you in and which part of those markets and the value chain do you play. Now, having said all of that, when we then come to saying you want to grow the business, whichever strategy you choose, is then how do you go about it? And that becomes critical. And that's where I think your operating strategy comes into place. And a lot of the times, how you define that operating strategy, it's your business model that you're going to use. And a lot of people who use this business model canvas that has become, I think, quite involved in the consulting industry. But that looks at the different parts of your business and decomposes them. And then once you've established that, I think one of the key things that one has to then determine is the resources part. And that's one of the critical parts of the business model, to say, in order to grow, you need to then have access to resources. And those resources might be technology, there might be human resources in terms of skills, in terms of just the number of people you need to employ, and physical assets also that you need to infrastructure, etc. So how do you then get those? And that's where a lot of the funding requirements come in, types of funding. But you don't necessarily have to go to a bank or get an equity to somebody in order to get those. You know? For example, if you need to increase the number of people that you're employing, instead of maybe going out and hiring people and paying them market price, you can get people to come on a consulting basis. Or if you don't even have the funds to pay them for that, you can get into a profit share agreement with them or give even your existing employees or create an employee equity scheme, for example. So even small businesses can really think about that to say, okay, I want to grow my business, but the critical part of growth is the people that I employ. I can't afford to pay them. So let me rather negotiate with them and say, when we grow and we reach certain milestones, you will get a share of the profits or you will become shareholders in the business along with me. And that's also, you don't need to then go get funding in order to pay salaries. There's also partnerships that you can get involved with for example, some of your suppliers, you can strike similar arrangements with them, or even parallel sort of services that you require along, that you say, look, let's partner, even some competitors where you can look at them and say, look, we're competing, but I want to focus on this area and you focus on this area. Let's share resources, and so that I don't have to go and invest in the same resources that you have to go and invest in. And so collaborations, I think, are critical. And then also, instead of acquiring assets and going buying vehicles and machinery and equipment, a lot of these can also be rented or leased. Mm-hmm. Although that does come at a much higher cost than you would pay if you were buying it, but that enables you then to reduce your debt and not to find yourself in a situation where you're sitting with lots of debt, and especially if the growth strategy fails.
To what extent, from your experience, do businesses struggle with the strategy part? Because a lot of what you've just discussed here in terms of, you know, debt management and having lean operations, etc., all, I suppose, hinges on the strategy. So I suppose, to what extent do people struggle putting that strategy together?
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important elements of why a lot of businesses fail. And it's a very difficult thing. I mean, I think, you know, most entrepreneurs don't trust consultants, and you'll find that a lot of consultants haven't really run businesses, etc. So there's a disconnect when you try and engage with business owners. But, you know, the critical thing to understand is that it's very difficult to look at your business objectively and look at yourself objectively when you're dealing with your day-to-day struggles and fights. And we all need another person who can look at us, give us that objective view and look at what we're doing and ask those questions around, why do you want to do this? You know, you say you want to run a business that's a clothing manufacturer, that create your own label of clothing.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to have a manufacturing center? Why don't you just outsource that and focus on designing and developing your brand? You know, why do you want to distribute your own products and not really simply just give a contract to somebody who will distribute and pay per product or let your customers pay for the distribution? So sometimes we get so caught up in how we want to execute the business, what we're thinking and what we like and our egos and everything else, that we all need somebody to look at you, I think, objectively and ask you those difficult questions. And sometimes in that process, then you come. But I think I would say that is the primary. And we come across a lot of businesses that say, I need funding for this, I need funding for that. And then when you ask a question, you realize, you know, what they're asking for funding for is not really critical to their business. And in fact, it's not going to add much value. And in fact, it's in a lot of cases, it's going to contribute to their failure in the end. You know?
Are consultants expensive? I mean, I'm thinking as a small business, I might need someone to guide me and help me out in articulating my vision onto paper, or at least helping me think through it. Are consultants pricey?
You know, consultants, it varies quite a lot. You know, I think the best consultants in business strategy mostly tend to consult to large corporates. And so they are inaccessible from a pricing perspective. And then you have a lot of consultants that, for example, would be contracted to enterprise supply development programs, to the Department of Small Business and your CEDAs, etc. So there's a lot of those, and there's also support in terms of paying for those costs through that. But the other key thing is, it doesn't have to be a consultant. You can get mentors, for example. That's always, I think, an easy way of doing it and getting the expertise, especially from people that are already in the industry, that have walked the path that you have. And I think every entrepreneur would do well to try and get themselves somebody to mentor them who does have some experience in business.
Mm. As 2020 insights, what insights do you find that you are having to offer the most?
Look, I mean, a lot of the times, I mean, we generally analyze a business and would look at the strategy and you know, I think across the board. And sometimes it depends on the need. You know, you can't force feed people what they're not asking for. Sometimes people just come to us and say, within a development program, they need funding. So we generally don't deal directly with small businesses. We work with corporate and enterprise supply development programs. And within that, then we will assist small businesses in different ways. And depending on the mandate there and the requirements and the things, that it will vary quite a lot. But, you know, internally, I think our capability is really across the board. And what we've sort of focused on is also more on creating a digital platform that makes it easier, because one of the key things that increases the cost of engaging with small businesses is just the time that it takes to collect data, to do the reports, et cetera. So we focus on creating that so that it's easier for us to sort of get the information and get the analysis. But it tends to be across the board. It's either, you know, where there's a turnaround strategy that's required. A lot of the times, the entrepreneurs will only listen to you about changing their business models when they're in trouble. But when things are still going well or whatever, they think they're going well because maybe they've got funding and they still have cash, then it's very difficult sometimes to convince people of what to do. But primarily, you know, they're really interested if you can help them to get markets.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't help to get access to markets or help them to get access to financing, they're not really interested in your wisdom, quote unquote. You know?
Okay, Karabo, thank you so much for chatting to us this evening. That is Karabo Mashukane, who is the CEO of 2020 Insights.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.